This week's Sedra, Parshas Dvarim. Moshe recalls that when he was approaching his war against Og, Melech HaBashan, he was scared. He was scared. He was worried that perhaps he wasn't going to be successful in his battle. Pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem Eli," but then Hashem said to me, "Al tiro, so don't be scared of him. Don't worry, because I'm going to deliver him, Og, into your hands, Moshe Rabbeinu." So Rashi explains that why was Moshe Rabbeinu scared? He was scared that perhaps Og was going to have a merit on his side that is going to save him from Moshe Rabbeinu. What was that merit? The merit was that way back when, time of Avram Avinu, Lot, Avraham's nephew, was captured by the four kings. And Og, he was a refugee. He ran away. And he told Avram about his nephew and says, "You know what? Your nephew is held captive." So Avram went out and he went and he beat the four kings and he freed his nephew Lot. So Rashi tells us, brings the Chazal, that this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was scared about. He realized that Og over here is over 500 years old. And how did he get this bracha of longevity, of becoming so old? Was because of, he assumed this merit of him telling Avram about his nephew Lot and saving him. And perhaps this merit is, you know, gave him this longevity. It also perhaps is a merit that is going to help him in his battle against Moshe. And therefore Moshe was scared of Og. Rashi, however, in Lech Lecha, points out that Og actually had an ulterior motive in informing Avram about his nephew. Why? His idea was, he wasn't interested in saving Lot. He didn't care about Lot. He wanted to marry Sarah. So what? He came to Avram telling about his nephew, knowing that, of course, Avram's not going to just leave his nephew there captive. He's going to go out to war. And, of course, how could he possibly beat these four kings? And he's going to get slaughtered. And then his wife, Sarah, is going to be a unmarried woman, a widower. And then he can marry him, because Sarah is a beautiful woman. He can marry her. So that was Og's whole reason in telling Avram about Lot. So if that's the case, the Mefarshim ask, then what was Moshe worried about? What kind of schus? That's a schus? What a tremendous schus, you know, he has, Og, you know, that he informed, what do you mean, he informed Avraham in order that Avraham should get killed and he can marry Sarah. That's a schus that Moshe Rabbeinu has to worry about. So there's a couple of different answers. The Das Akane Mibaliatosis, others as well, say that it's true, he had bad intent, but since in the end Lot was saved because of him, so there is a schus there, and every schus gets paid back. So Moshe was worried, perhaps he's going to be saved because of that schus, even though he had his bad intent. However, the Kli Yakar, he says he doesn't really see how the question starts. He says not a question at all. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't know that. He didn't know about Og's bad intent in saving Avraham. He assumed, like we said, that since Og was so old and he's got some type of bracha for longevity, that probably he had a schus, and that schus was that he saved Lot, and he didn't know that he had bad intent. Right? It's only later, after Moshe Rabbeinu went and fought and destroyed Og and killed him, so then Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps afterwards realized, I guess it wasn't such a schus, perhaps he had bad intent, etc., which he did. He only realized that later, and therefore Rashi, when he comments on Lech Lecha, tells us that he had bad intent, Rashi was only telling us the final result. After Moshe Rabbeinu beat Og, then it became clear that probably the whole intent of Og was negative at the time. It only became Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know this. However, the whole idea, the whole episode of Moshe Rabbeinu being afraid of Og's merit, which he thought he had at this time, is difficult based on the Gemara, Lechur, and Baba Basra. The Gemara learns out from the Pasuk in Mishle that says, V'chesed le'umim chatas, the kindness or chesed, right, that the goyim do, is sin. It's considered chatas, it's considered sin. What's the idea? So the Mefarshim explain that goyim, when they do nice acts, for the most part, they're doing it for their own personal self-gratification. And as a result, it's not considered a great act at all. It's really considered a sin, since they're doing it for the wrong purposes. If that's the case, so what was Moshe Rabbeinu worried about? Because even if Og did an act of kindness, but chesalum im chatas, it's considered a sin if a goy does it. So why was Moshe scared? The Iyun Yaakov on the Gemara in Baba Basra raises a similar contradiction based on another Gemara, though. The Gemara also in Baba Basra later brings a Maisa with Ifra Hurmis. She was the mother of King Shapur, and she sent 400 dinarim as charity, as a tzedakah, charity to Rav Ami. He didn't want to accept it. She says, okay. So she then sent it to Rava, who did accept the money. When Rav Ami got word that Rava, had taken the money, he asked him, he goes, what's going on? Don't you hold to the pasuk that says in Yeshayahu, when their boughs are withered, they will break off, meaning, Rashi says, he explains the pasuk, reflecting the merits of the goyim. That when the merits that the goyim amass, only when they dry up, will they be vulnerable to fall. And therefore, Rav Ami was telling Rava, by accepting charity from this Gentile woman, you're replenishing the merits of the goyim. In Mele, it's going to take much longer to see the downfall of the goyim, because they only will fall after their merits dry up, and you're just adding their merits when you're accepting charity from them. So, at Yun Yaakov, it seems to be a contradiction. On the one hand, we said that the goy does kindness, whatever, acts of kindness, it's chatas, it's like a sin, it's meaningless. On the other hand, we see that they hit a mass merit, and we have to dry them out with this merit before we see their downfall. So what is it? Do they get merit or do they not? So he answers that he makes the differentiation between this world and the next world. In other words, when a goy does an act, a positive act, so it has an effect in this world. It gives them merit in this world. It gives them a sense of kiyum. They can stay around, and it's hard to destroy them because it gives them something here in this world. However, since they are receiving in this world, they are this merit, and getting rewarded for it, it gives them strength in this world, but that's, they're just using up their merit here. So then in the next world, it's like chatas, it's meaningless. In other words, they're going to have no schus left for the next world. So that's, he says, he answers the contradiction. Goyim have schus in this world, but it's going to be, since it's only for their self-gratification, so lamaisa, it's not that tremendous amount of schus that's going to last in Olam Haba. They'll use it all up in this world, and it gives them strength in this world, but only in this world. So in the next world, they'll have nothing. So as a result, if a person wants to make sure that the goy doesn't have, in this world, strength, so like we saw with the Gemara of Rav Ami and Rava, that they have to be careful not to allow them to, not to give them the schus, because if they're giving them the schus, that'll give them extra strength in this world. It reminds me of a vort that they ask with, and looks, it's actually the other, in the other direction, we find by Avram Avinu. Speaking of Avram Avinu, says that when he sent out Yishmael and Hagar from his house, so the pasuk tells us that he took lechem and the container of water, and he gave it to Hagar as he sent them out. So the Mefarshim ask over there, why did Avraham only give water and bread to Ishmael and Hagar, why didn't he give him kesef and zahav? Right? He's, you know, I'm sure the long journey that they're going on, they can use a little bit of pocket money as well. Doesn't say, just gave them some water and bread, and that's it. So Rashi says that that Avram Avinu, he hated Yishmael. And why? Because he went off the derech, Yatzala Tarbura, and as a result, he didn't want to give him money. Rashi says. However, there's an interesting Rabbeinu Bachya, which is Nogea perhaps to us today, and he says the following. Ki tachein lomar she'Avram ra'a b'mareh ha'nevua. Avram perhaps, he says, saw in prophetically, she'atidim banav lishtabed tachas yidei Yishmael. That in the future, way in the future, that his seed are going to be lishtabed, they're going to be enslaved under the hand of Yishmael. V'chi yisna'u osam sina gdola. And the Arabs, Yishmael, are going to hate the Jews with tremendous hatred. She'ein uma ba'olam she'usonim li'Israel k'b'nei Yishmael. There's going to be no nation in the world that's going to hate the Jews like the B'nei Yishmael. V'lachein hitneheg Avram imo k'mo sh'roi li'tneheg im hasone. And therefore, Avraham acted with Yishmael here like you're supposed to act with your sone, with your enemy. Somebody that you hate, and that hates you. And therefore, he gave them lechem umayim. Hu shekasuv, he concludes in the pasuk in Mishle, imraev sonacha, if your enemy, the person that you hate, is hungry, hechileu lechem, so give him bread to eat. V'im tzamei, hashkei umayim. And if he's thirsty, so give him some water. It's interesting, as an aside, the Mephoshim, what's the idea of giving them bread, give bread and water? So, so someone is saying that you don't do, it's not that you should starve them or whatever, but you give them just bread, but you just give them the minimal. You give them a little bit of bread, a little bit of water, and that itself, sometimes giving them, can end up being a way of taking revenge. Reminds me of the story of the Chazon Ish. Once the Chazon Ish, he was a young avreich, and he was visiting this town. He was a stranger to this specific town in Europe, and he walks into a shul. So he looks around, first time he's there, and he was, I guess, coming for a minyan or whatever, and he was the first one there, so he decided to, you know, take out a chumash, and he opens it up, and to do a little bit of learning. So he opens up the chumash, sits down. All of a sudden, the gabbai comes in, and he looks a look, and he walks up to the Chazon Ish. He didn't know who he was dealing with, obviously. And he says, "Hey, what are you doing?" She says, "What do you mean, what am I doing? So you're not allowed to take the chumashim from the shelf. What are you doing? I'm sitting there, you're not allowed to take it and open and read from it. What are you doing? You can't do that." Excuse me, I'm just learning a little bit for me. You can't learn anything. What are you who gave you permission to take the chumash from the shelf? Give me that. And he grabs the chumash from him, and he takes it, closes it, and puts it back on the shelf. So the Chazon Ish, what's going on over here? I was, you know, looking at a chumash. So he said to himself, I'm going to take revenge from this guy. Ah. So now let's see, how did the Chazon Ish take revenge? So what happened? The next day, Shacharis, he was down there at the minyan, and he noticed that the same gabbai that yelled at him the day before was going around with a pushka, right, a little sucker box, shaking it and going around and to people to put in some money. So people in the town are very poor people, they didn't have so much money, so everybody threw in a penny or so, you know. Anyway, so what did the Chazon Ish do? He took out his wallet, and he took out let's say in our standards would be, let's say, $100 bill. Okay, everybody's throwing in a penny. He takes the $100 bill out, and when the gabbai is kind of walking by, he put inside the pushka the $100. So the gabbai is looking, and he sees a bill which was out of the ordinary, and a $100 bill. So he quickly looks up and sees, who's the gvir? Who's the wealthy man that gave this $100? So he looks up, and he sees it was none other than the young man who he had screamed at the day before. So, what happened? Next day, Chazon Ish came to davening. The Chabai was there waiting for him. He runs to the shelf, grabs the chumash, hands it to him, says, "Here, please, have a seat." So he said, that's the nekama, the revenge, the chazanish. So too, some fortune say that's sometimes the revenge you give to the person, that's also taking revenge. So it's making them feel bad. So therefore, so too by the goyim, or this yersone, sometimes you give him bread and water, that's also called taking revenge. You give him something little, but just something little, right? You don't want to give him too much. There's also Meiser of Zilberstein says that he remembers when he was in the Talmud Torah Eitz Chaim as a kid. There was a Rav Chaim Hakelman, Zatzal, that he was a teacher there, and he remembers that he would every day he would go by the Erev Shuk, and he used to take a coin, and he said to Rav Zilberstein, as a boy, I want you to change into little tiny prutas. And Rav Zilberstein would go around and he would give the Arab, excuse me, this Rav Avram would go around to the, when he passed the Arab Shuk, and all the little boys, the Arab boys would come out. So he'd give him a little bit. Give him a little bit of it, just a pruta. Like we said, a little bit of lechem, a little bit of water. I said, give him something little. But that's it, nothing more. Anyways, so let's go back to the issue at hand over here. So we have, we said this difference between the reward in this world and the reward in the next world. Yes, goyim have schuyos that they can amass in this world, but it's only in this world. In the next world, we said it's considered a chatas. So therefore, that's the answer to our question with Moshe Rabbeinu as well. We asked, why was Moshe Rabbeinu, what was he afraid of? Right, the schuyos. It says that the chesed lumim chatas, that the goyish chesed, it's considered a sin. So as we said, yes, it's a sin only in the next world. But Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't worried so much about the next world right now. He was worried about this world. He had to confront Og in the fight, in a battle. So he assumed that, as we said before, Og had this chus that he told Avraham about Lot. And he said, look, the goyim has chus in this world. As long as they have chus, until they're dried up, we have to contend with them. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he knew that fine, in the next world he doesn't have to worry about Og. But now, in this world he does. And therefore, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu feared. But of course, Hashem told him, don't worry, that everything's going to be okay, and you have nothing to fear. Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to take care, and you're going to be victorious over Og, which of course he was. I'd like to end with, we're speaking about the Maisa with Chesed, of the Goyim, and I'd like to mention the Maisa, which is, you could say, a quote-unquote a chesed of a Goy, but it was clearly, in this case, steered from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a very moving story of once there was a dinner of Ezer Mitzion, and Rav Chaim Kreisworth, that's all, was the Rav of Antwerp. He was invited to this dinner to speak. So we're talking about chesed, and he told him the following personal story that happened to him during the Holocaust. He says he was learning in the yeshiva, and he was a young man, but he was very talented in his learning. And even though he was about 16 years old, 17, he was already giving shiur in the yeshiva. And the conditions are very, very rough, and the boys were, literally, most of the boys were sleeping on the floor. They had no money for beds. And only a few lucky boys happened to have beds. So Rav Chaim, he was given a bed because he was a magichir. So he was given the luxury, so to speak, of having somewhat of a bed to sleep on. He said, one day, he was contacted by someone and who told him that, asked him for a favor, that there's a boy that's coming into the yeshiva, and his name was Yeshaya, and he was a blind boy, and he was coming to have tests done in the hospital in the big city nearby, And he was asked, Chaim Chrysler was asked if he could please, you know, take care of the boy while he's in yeshiva and having to go through these tests or whatever, and, you know, keep an eye on him and make him comfortable. So he said, of course, my pleasure. As we said, this boy was blind. He was called, used to call him Yeshayela Mishnah. Why? Because he used to constantly say Mishnayis Baal Peh, because he was blind. Anyways, he said, the story goes that he came to the yeshiva, and there are no beds, as we said. As there were, very few. And Rav Chaim, he felt, you know, responsible for this boy, and he went out of his way and gave him his bed. He gave him this young boy his bed, this blind boy, who slept on it every night, while he had to sleep on the floor. You know, some people come in and see, he's the muggy chair, he's sleeping there on the floor with the other bachur. And but he did so, you know, wholeheartedly, willingly, and to help out this poor boy. Anyways, okay, so he assumed, you know, okay, week or two, you know, till he has his test done, okay. But it dragged out another week, a month, another month. It was not just you know, a few days, but the whole time he was mavat there, and he gave his bed to this poor boy. Anyways, then came the war got more severe. The Nazis came, and one day the group of Nazis came to the yeshiva that he was in, and they made an announcement. They have a list of the bachurim, and they're calling out bachur by bachur, and they're going to kill the bachurim one at a time. They're outside the yeshiva. There's lined up as a wall, lining up the wall, and shoot them. And that's what they did. Yimach Shemam, one at a time, they called out so-and-so, the bachar left, went outside, boom, shot him. Next bachar out, boom, shot him. And he said, came my name, said, Chaim Chrysler, whatever, come out, it's your turn. So he said, he figured, you know, this is it. He walks, starts walking out of the yeshiva building, and he realized he has like about 2 minutes left to be, you know, to talk to his creator before his death. So I think, what can I say? So he says, Hashem, he says, I remember I was crying to Hashem. I said, Hashem, you know, what do I have to offer? What can I, but if not for my Torah that I've been learning and teaching in the yeshiva, at least, perhaps in merit of the chesed that I did with this blind boy for the last few months and giving him my bed, etc., at least in that merit, maybe you can help me, maybe you can save me. So he says the German took him out and with, you know, had his gun. All of a sudden, the German looks at him and says, you know, you look like a very nice boy. I don't want to kill you. He says, I'll tell you what, but I have to whore because, you know, they're going to ask me, well, you know, I have to kill you. So I'll tell you what, make a deal with you. You stand there by the wall, and when I shoot, I'll purposely, you know, move the you know, the gun a little bit to the right and miss you, and as soon as that happens, you run away, and then I'll say, you know, oh, he ran away. What can I do? And that's it. And you'll be safe. And that's it. So it's exactly what happened. Took the gun, the rifle, poof, shot him, and just missed. And Chaim, in a second, he was off, and he was saved. So he recalls this Maisa's recalling what Chesed could do. You know, he felt that his life and all the Torah, whatever, was all due to this Chesed that he did with this this blind boy. Mamish saved his life miraculously. So here we have, we said a Chesed of quote unquote of this Russia, but we said sometimes the Chesed, the Goyim, not only are they they're doing it for their own self gratification. Sometimes they don't even know why they're doing the chesed. It's Kodesh Baruch Hu that's steering them, making them do this chesed. But as we said, even when they do have it is a genuine chesed. It's only a chesed that's amassing them reward in this world, according to Yidun Yaakov, but not in the next world. So, Mi'at Hashem, we should hope to see soon that all the merits of our enemies that they're amassing, and that this should, we saw in the Gemara, they should dry up soon, so we can see the downfall of these people, the wicked people for sure, and at that time, we can look forward to merit and seeing the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimhera V'Yameinu.